Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. I praise God for all of you and for the moms today. A man walked into a flower shop just before Mother's Day and asked, "What can I get for $3? And the person behind the counter said, "For $3, I can either sell you a dozen carnation flowers or just one rose." And the man said, "Why are the roses so expensive compared to the carnations?" And the employee said, "Well, the scent of a carnation doesn't last very long. It's very sweet for a moment, but it has no longevity. A rose is known for its ongoing scent. Even when you think it's dead, it can be crushed and turned into potpourri, and the fragrance continues. Godly women, godly wives, godly mothers are like beautiful roses with a lasting fragrance that comes from a heart committed to Christ. And today is a day that we express our appreciation and give thanks to God for all of the moms in our lives. And in honor of them, I want us to look together at what is the finest description of the ideal wife and mother, the woman of Proverbs 31. But let's first go to the Lord in prayer together. Father God, we do thank you for all of the moms today. I know there are some here like me whose mothers are no longer living. And so I pray for peace to those who are missing a mother today. And I know some are here that just recently lost their mother. And so we pray for your supernatural peace to fill them. And Lord, I also want to pray for the mothers who have lost a child. We pray for your comfort to fill them. And I also want to pray for those who long to be mothers. Lord, would you minister to their hearts? Remind them that you are near. You are with them, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us all today. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us through your holy word? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we turn to the last chapter in the book of Proverbs, we meet a figurative woman in Scripture that may be seen by some as this impossible example to emulate. A superwoman that no one could ever expect to live up to. But as we look at verse 1 of Proverbs 31, we see that this is a godly standard that a mother has put forth for her son, Lemuel, as he considers marriage. We don't know much about this man, Lemuel. He was most likely not an Israelite. But we do know that he was a king from verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. That word for oracle is literally in the Hebrew, burden. Mothers carry a great burden, but these words are not meant to be burdensome, but weighty words of motherly advice to a son. We see elsewhere in Proverbs 1 and 6 where a father is addressing his son. But here we see a mother giving words of counsel and warning. In the first 9 verses of Proverbs 31, which we aren't going to cover, we see the queen mother tells her son to avoid overindulgence when it comes to women and wine so that he can be as morally and physically fit as possible to attend to his duties as king and defend the rights of the afflicted and the needy. And then starting in verse 10, we see a poetic description of the ideal wife. This is a mother encouraging her son to aim high. And this section is an acrostic poem. An acrostic poem, meaning in verse 10, in the Hebrew, it starts with the word for wife, And the first letter of that word is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. The next line of the poem begins with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and so on. 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet for the 22 lines of poetry, starting in verse 10. And this allowed the people to memorize the poem and recite it. This woman here in Proverbs 31 is someone that we can all learn from today. An example we can all strive for as we grow in Christ's likeness. And we see today in this woman six things. Number one, she is rich in worth and character. Two, she is resourceful. Three, she reaches out in service to others. Four, she is of good repute. Five, she is a righteous woman. And six, she is appropriately respected and revered by those around her. Number one, she is rich in worth and character. Verse 10, an excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels or rubies. This section begins with a rhetorical question. Other translations read, who can find a wife of noble character? This rhetorical question is intended to make the point that such a virtuous and capable woman is rare and hard to come by. And as with wisdom, she has to be found. And this mother communicates that the first quality a man should seek in a wife is a godly and noble character. In the Hebrew, it says, a woman of valor. It's the same expression used to describe Ruth in Ruth 3:11. It's in a woman's heart that we find that spiritual richness and godliness that is so beautiful. And yes, there should also be physical attraction and a spark between husband and wife, but many of these external things that we value in potential spouses are fleeting. But a woman of great character is to be given the highest worth. A woman's value is never based on her appearance or on what she's wearing, but her godliness within. Verse 10 says, who can find such a woman? This doesn't mean that they are non-existent, because many are here in this room today. But they are rare, like precious stones or pearls. No treasure can compare to the character of the woman described here in these verses. Proverbs 3 talks about wisdom being more important than wealth. And here we see that godly character is of greater value than the finest jewels. Our kids were staying with their grandparents a few years ago, and our youngest daughter started singing a song that her grandmother overheard. And the lyrics were, I want to be rich. Oh, I want to be rich. And her grandmother said, you know, Mary, I'm not so sure about that song. You know, maybe that's not the best song for you to be singing. And Mary told her, it's okay. It's a Christian song from Toby Mac. And then she continued to sing more of the lyrics. I want to be rich in love, loaded in friends and family. Lord, I want to be rich. As Abraham Lincoln once said, no one is poor who had a godly mother. A godly wife and mother is a woman who is rich in virtue and in kindness and love and grace. We also see that she is trustworthy and has a oneness in heart with her husband, verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. As Martin Luther reflected on his wife, he said, the greatest gift of God is a spouse who fears God and one whom a husband can live with in perfect confidence. In marriage, if we stay true to those vows that we made on our wedding day, these promises before God, then there should be no place in marriage for suspicion or jealousy. Because we have that wall of trust, that confidence that we desire to have built around our marriage to keep out the enemy. We see this woman seeking the best for her husband as well. She enriches his life by her godly virtues. I know today is Mother's Day, and we should honor mom, but we don't just honor women because they are mothers. We honor them and celebrate them because of their hearts for the Lord, their Christ-like character. This woman is not only rich in character, but we also see that she is resourceful and practical. Verse 13, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She's enterprising. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, which is a staff for holding wool, and her hands grasp the spindle. There's a temptation here for wives and mothers to read this proverb and feel, I could never live up to this woman's resume. She not only owns her own small business, she's a fitness trainer. She can crochet sweaters for the family, and she still has time for a ministry to the poor. This woman never sits. She's at the store. She's buying up real estate. She starts a vineyard. She does needlepoint, for goodness sake. But this list is not meant to overwhelm or discourage. Again, this is Lemuel's mother who is not saying, this is the requirement for all you potential wives. But here's just an example of a godly woman who follows after the Lord. It's not expected that any one woman look exactly like the P31 woman in every aspect and possess all of her qualifications and all of her giftings. But the principles and the values that we observe in her are worth emulating. She has an amazing work ethic. She's resourceful. She keeps oil in her lamp that doesn't go out at night as she works. She plans ahead. She's shrewd and discerning. She's not an impulsive spender. She looks for wool. She considers a field. She senses that her gain is good. She works hard, but also smart. And the key to her work, whether in the home or in the marketplace, is she works out of delight. Verse 14. Other translations read, with eager hands. The joy of the Lord is her strength. That Hebrew word for delight is literally willingly. No one has forced her or pressured her to work. If God has placed it on your heart as a woman to work outside the home and God is using you according to your giftings, praise God. But if God has led you to work from the home, that's a calling God has also placed on your life. And all that is done in the home is to give glory to God. You need to obey God's leading upon your life and not what the culture or what others pressure you to do. And I'm sorry if you have ever felt judged or made to feel guilty for pursuing either one of those options. It's hard to imagine a higher calling in life than that of a mother, but a mother can still work outside the home if she feels led to do so. Ultimately, we must seek to please the Lord and not man. We seek to do what's best for the family, knowing that this decision can certainly change as seasons of life change. This woman is not idle. She has a great drive, and she is under the loving leadership of a godly husband. A godly wife is to be under the authority of a loving Christ-like husband so that she has the freedom to become all that God had intended her to be. We see this woman is rich in character. She is resourceful. And she also has the time to reach out in service to others. Verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. She doesn't panic about the weather because she's prepared for adversity. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. She ministers to her own family, but she's also actively engaged in serving others. She makes her home the center of her ministry. And we see the intentionality in the words describing her ministry. She extends her hands to the poor. She stretches out to come alongside those in need. She has a heart that is generous and others focused. We also see that she is a woman of good repute. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. The city gate was the place where civic matters were handled, and this woman's husband was among the town's leadership. We see an example of legal affairs being settled at the city gates in Ruth chapter 4. And because of this woman's character, it's no surprise that her husband is also respected. This woman worked in a way that complemented her husband and enhanced his prestige and reputation and the work that God had called him to. They were a team. I love how the book Love and Respect from Emerson Eggerich points husbands and wives to Scripture in Ephesians 5:33 for the healthy cycle that we are to have in marriage. As husbands love their wives and serve them and honor them and praise them, wives will want to more greatly respect their husbands, and that will only cause his love to increase more and more. But if a woman fails to respect and honor her husband, and if he fails to love and cherish her, then that cycle can become broken and challenges arise. But here again, we see this selfless woman not just thinking of her husband, but thinking of others before herself, thinking of the family first and the community around her. She makes linen garments and she sells them and supplies belts or sashes to the merchants. And number 5, we also see that she is a righteous woman. Verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. I love that verse. This woman was concerned about providing, not just for her own family, but others in need in her community. But when it came to her own clothing, she desired to be clothed in strength and dignity. In Scripture, to be clothed with something means it's a part of your life and your character and conduct. We see this idea in Colossians 3, verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on, clothe yourself with a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And beyond all these things, put on love. She is clothed in strength. She's a woman of grace and dignity. She is secure in her identity in Christ, regardless of marital status or motherhood. And she smiles at the future. This isn't a flippant, carefree attitude, but a confident peace and forward-looking perspective because she keeps a vertical focus on the Lord. She can smile and laugh and not worry when she considers the future because this woman of faith serves a God who has proved himself faithful in the past and is with her in the present. She's also a wise woman. Verse 26, she opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. In keeping with the theme of wisdom found in the book of Proverbs, we see at the very beginning of the book, a young man in Proverbs 1 being advised to pursue Lady Wisdom. And here at the end of the book, we see words of wisdom from a mother to a son and the portrait of a wise woman who is worth pursuing as a wife. She is praised here for her wisdom as she teaches her children and her household workers and her husbands as well. Husbands, we would be wise to listen to the wisdom of our wives. And all the husbands said, okay, a couple people were a little slow on that. Need to come talk to y'all. We should never tune out our spouse. They know us better than anyone. We trust that they always have our best in mind. After the Lord, it's their counsel that we must value above all. Each week, my wife reads the sermon on Saturday, and if she makes a recommendation or a suggested cut or edit, I don't take it personal. I take that advice. Lately, she's even made some observations after the first service and recommends a change for the second one. And I greatly value her perspective and her insights. And this is possible not only because the Lord fills us with a spirit of humility at that moment, but because there's an emotional bank account established between us. And we have been both making healthy deposits of encouragement and affirmation and praise into that account. So when a friendly suggestion or constructive feedback is made out of love, we don't immediately get defensive like we might do if that emotional account is very low or depleted. So we must be daily making those deposits of love and service and kindness and respect. Verse 27, this woman looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Wives manage the household, but they also balance ministry and work, and they invest in meaningful friendships, and all of this requires a lot of strength and grace as they faithfully pursue these things day and night. We've seen this woman who is rich in worth and character. She is resourceful. She reaches out in service to others. She is of good repute. She is a righteous woman. And then number six, she is respected and revered, and rightly so. Verse 28, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also. And he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel or surpass them all. Children should stand and bless and thank their mothers, but husbands should also consistently speak words of love, words of praise. A husband and wife were one day driving together down a country road, and they noticed a mule walking along the side of the road. And the husband pointed at the mule and said to his wife, there goes one of your relatives. And the wife replied, yeah, by marriage. Let's not do that. Our words are to be seasoned with grace and kindness and love, not sarcasm or backhanded compliments. And we shouldn't just designate one day a year for husbands and children to shower the mothers in our lives with praise, but every day should be Mother's Day or Father's Day, just as every Sunday should be Resurrection Sunday as we celebrate our risen and alive Savior. So let's leave those little notes of appreciation for our spouse throughout the year, thanking the Lord for them. There's no one quite like a mother. As one author writes, she's that mixture of patience, kindness, understanding, discipline, and love. She can be both counselor and coach. She can sew the tiniest stitch in the prom dress and yet thread through the heaviest of traffic with the minivan. She can cry when she's happy and laugh when she's heartbroken. She's as gentle as a lamb and strong as a giant. There's no greater thrill in life than to point to that wonderful woman and say to the world, "That's my mother." When you lose a parent, all of those first milestones are very difficult. The first Christmas without them, their first birthday in glory. But the most challenging day for me when I lost my mom 10 years ago was that first Mother's Day. And knowing that I couldn't pick up the phone and hear her kind voice and tell her, "I love you, Mom." And some of you all are there today. So let us not take for granted those opportunities to thank our moms. And you husbands, you set the example for the kids to see and to imitate. So what's the secret to the beauty of this Proverbs 31 woman? It's not what the culture values in terms of beauty. Verse 30, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. A godly wife and mother may possess some of these other gifts and skills. And we are to tell our wives and mothers that they are beautiful and lovely inside and out. But the key to her beauty and excellence is found here in verse 30. She fears the Lord. The book of Proverbs begins and ends with an emphasis on the fear of the Lord. This Hebrew word for fear can also be translated reverences. Her character is worthy to be revered because she possesses a holy reverence and awe of God. I recently had to go through a treatment of applying a chemo cream to the right side of my head here, right on the right temple, because of a skin cancer spot. And it was another humbling reminder that our body is temporary. The physical is fleeting. It has a shelf life. But the good thing about being married to someone is that you grow old together. You are not oblivious to their aging, but the other person is becoming more beautiful as she ages because you not only see the beauty that first attracted you to her, but encapsulated within that beauty are now all of the memories, all of the milestones that you have shared together as one flesh under God. And that only adds to her beauty. The woman who walks with the Lord and seeks to please God has a beauty that never fades. We see this as well in 1 Peter 3, verse 3, where Peter addresses wives and says, "Your adornment must not be merely external, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God." These imperishable qualities come through abiding in Christ and abiding in the Word of God daily and through prayer. To become a woman of worth that is greater than rubies, she must pursue God's will, which is a treasure beyond all riches. We also see that she has a testimony to others, not just to her children or her husband, but others in the community recognize her ministry and her kindness gives testimony to her value. Verse 31, "Give her the product or fruit of her hands, and let her works or deeds praise her in the gates." The excellent character and testimony of this extraordinary woman called for public praise and honor. Proverbs 31 is not simply a word of encouragement for wives and mothers, but it's also to be a challenge to husbands as well. In order for us to be the spiritual heads of the home, we must be faithfully walking with the Lord too and growing spiritually ourselves. We see a pattern in this proverb for men and women. Principles we can all take from this godly woman's example. The key to her virtuous character and her noble reputation was her spiritual life. She possessed a reverence for God. That's what made her so beautiful and praiseworthy. So let us take the time today and every day to praise, to cherish, to stand in appreciation for the mothers, the wives, and the women of God in our lives. I like what John Killinger writes about mothers in his book, Lost in Wonder, Love, and Praise. He writes this, "I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who was born on the promise to a virgin named Mary. I believe in the love Mary gave her son that caused her to follow after him and stand by his cross as he died. I believe in the love of all mothers and its importance in the lives of the children they bear. It is stronger than steel, softer than snow, and more resilient than a green sapling on a hillside. It closes wounds, melts disappointments, and enables the weakest child to stand tall and straight in the fields of adversity. But I believe that this love, even at its best, is only a shadow of the love of God, a reflection of all that we can expect of him, both in this life and in the next. And I believe that one of the most beautiful sights in the world is a mother who lets this greater love flow through to her child, blessing the world with the tenderness of her touch and the tears of her joy." Let's pray. Father God, we stand in awe of your love for us. And Lord, we also thank you today for a mother's love. There are few riches greater than having the memories of a loving mother. And Lord, as we've been praying for mothers today, I also want to pray, Lord, for the one who may have a wayward child, one who has strayed from the things of you. But this child has a mother that keeps on loving and keeps on sacrificing for them with a love that points to the gospel and your unconditional love for us, Jesus, a love by which you left the 99 to pursue the one lost sheep, a love by which you sacrificially lay down your life on the cross for our sins, and then you rose from the dead to give us the gift of eternal life if we come to you in faith. And Lord, I pray that today you would call someone here, or perhaps listening online, to yourself in saving faith. Would they come to trust in you and know you as their Lord and Savior? And what a gift that would be to welcome them into your forever family, God. So, Lord, I pray just a special blessing, a special measure of your grace and honor over the moms today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.